A privilege it is to be here today. I'll have to confess I'm feeling a bit of pressure. Such good offerings from Jeff and Rick and Josh, each one the length of one of Mike's sermons. So I'm feeling a lot of pressure. What a privilege it is. I want to begin with an introductory word to you, the church, this community of faith. And then spend the most of my visit with you around my relationship with Mike. And then I'll close with a word again to you as a body of Christ. First to you, days like these are significant in the life of church congregations. Know this, that it is in the stories that we tell, the conversations that we have, the relationships that we foster, events like today. These are the things that form the larger, the meta-narrative of the body of Christ, of your church in this community and across this state and even around the world. In the last 5 years, I've spent a good deal of time walking alongside churches that all, whether their pastor knows it or not, or is staying or leaving, all churches are in transition. But days like these mark well the health of a congregation, finishing well, Mike, is one of, if not the, chief predictor of a healthy transition, but also a successful next tenure for the next pastor. So, Central Baptist Church, you are to be commended. Pat yourselves on the back. In fact, give yourselves an applause. This is a good day, and you have done well. Days like this, the memories, the hopes, the conversations, all of these things matter. Our conversations, you see, shape our lives, our very culture, our very future. And they don't just reverberate within the walls of this building, though they certainly do and will go on to do so. But this community in which you live and beyond, even to the concentric circles of next pastor candidates, the word gets out. Central is a healthy church. But we're not here to talk about the next pastor, are we? But this very, very accomplished one today. And obviously one who is at least partly responsible for your good health and for your positive future. Mike's accomplishments are long, and I asked him to send me a kind of Vita sheet, if he would, and it was 3 pages long. Professional experience, additional professional experience, a multitude of volunteer experiences, and publications and engagements way too lengthy to even begin. So let me just tell you what I know and have observed up close. Not when he had his preacher's collar on. I've known Mike and Grace, haven't we, Cindy, since college days, reaching all the way back to the 70s. I wish you had known Mike then. I really wish you'd have known him then. Well, in essence, you do. He was just as outgoing, effervescent, and gregarious as you know him. No. I'm sorry. Mike was just as measured, just as focused, just as on point then as he is now. Cindy and I and Grace and Mike, Belmont Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, our conversations, our life, really, our life revolved around our education, no doubt. Church dynamics and leadership and all of that, but also golf and ping pong. And believe it or not, intramural basketball. Yes, Mike can play basketball. Well, kind of. He likes zone as opposed to man. But I tell you what he's a master of, the game of risk. And when it would snow in Louisville, we would hunker down in the Echo Hill apartments. I'm thankful for all of those moments. Annie Dillard said that life is made up simply by the living of our days, each and every one. What we are today, what we're doing today, is what we're becoming. And Mike is becoming what you see and have known. He's been doing that all his life. It's no wonder we recognize excellence because he has lived his life that way. And for sharing somewhat, even at a distance, though intimately, Mike, I am grateful for the way you have lived. We who know you close have benefited. I also bring you, Mike, and church family, I bring you greetings and well wishes because, Rick, I too did the thing. I kind of sent out the word, you know, and boy, did it come back. Well wishes from former churches and staff ministers, some who are here today. And, Mike, you'll see them, I'm sure, soon, just in a few moments. And they had all kinds of ideas. And I asked, you know, what would you like to give him? What would you send? What gifts? And one former staff member said she had just the thing, Pam, a welcome mat that you could use. It says welcome. You could put it at your front door and you can flip it over and it says go away. That's when he needs to refuel, recharge. Others, so many, all of them sent you a hug, and I promised them I'd give them to you individually. Others, chocolate, because that's how you express your feminine side. Several said, just get him a Happy Meal. All the boy eats is a hamburger. Or tomato soup and crackers. But seriously, there were more comments like this. Mike's one of the most perceptive and caring people I've ever known. He values every person. Not just some people, but all people have value to him, regardless of their status, their education, their cultural qualifications. He is so perceptive regarding people's individual needs and personalities. As a supervisor, as you've heard Josh say, he's extremely supportive. He's unusually clear. And he's always thinking about the church as a whole. That's a gift. A gift. Individual said spoke to how he interpreted their work positively, helped to measure its impact, and always gave affirmation and gently guided. I didn't realize it until after the fact, one said, but he also carried more than his load of staff administrative responsibility so that I would be free to pursue my ideals and passions in ministry. And even after leaving churches, he stayed in touch and encouraged. Church member, you may recognize this one, Mike, believes that there was a reason. And Rick, there couldn't have been. I know the Lord helped you choose that one, because not only does that indelible, that grain across that plaque, not only does it mark the individual giftedness of who Mike is as a minister, but it also treks his path across the good state of Tennessee, from Memphis to Murfreesboro to Knoxville, and it shows movement across there. And I am sure, knowing Mike, that it was a solely spiritual discernment process, meeting the needs with his giftedness for those individual congregations, second to First Murfreesboro to Central Baptist here. But I also suspect that it had something to do with his love for the Tennessee Volunteers. And so that west to east migration perhaps could have been expected. I have enjoyed Mike's pastoral nature by following him on Facebook and watching him try to encourage you Vol fans over the last several years. I mean, I came and went to a game, Cindy and I did, with Mike and Grace. Was it last year or 2 years ago? The Georgia-Tennessee game. I think we got shut out. And afterwards, he had a positive word to offer. I think it was something about a nutritionist that the athletic department had hired, and there would be good things to come. Just look. One former church member who headed church budget as treasurer and chairman of that committee had often one-on-one meetings with Mike in his office, and he said that he found it comforting always to walk into Mike's office, because always on the desk there was a Bible on the right and a calculator at his left hand. And no doubt, it probably wasn't always there, but it's no doubt that Mike tended not just to the big picture, but to every detail in the life of the church. And this member says, it was always comforting to me to know that he was in tune with us. Tom Stiegald is here today. And Tom and I and Mike have been, as our New Testament professor would say, a trinity of friends since the 70s. And I know that Tom and I were talking during one of the hymns and said, wouldn't it be great if we could just pull up a chair and we could really tell you some stories. We could riff on Mike for half a day. Mike was a year ahead of Tom, and I was a half year behind Tom, but we moved together through college and seminary. We took a lot of the same classes, and we skipped a few. Mike less than Tom and I. Our paths diverged geographically, certainly, and perhaps in other ways. But for his part, Mike, he has the keenest of minds, an absolute veracity across disciplines and genres, well-founded ambitions, and a kind of upward mobility, though one always couched in humility. It didn't take long for him to have his PhD, become an editor, an author, a successful pastor. Mike's known as a fixer. I'd say that's better said, a healer, an encourager. He takes churches and helps them steady themselves and focus toward the future. He's a kind of church medic. I love that about you, Mike. But it's not been just to congregations, but to colleagues and to staff, as you've heard Josh say. It's been the experience of everyone who's known him. He's been a voice of wisdom to me and Tom, and we are so grateful for that. Mike, we never really acted on it, but Tom and I have always said that we'd like to have t-shirts or a ball cap that said, "We want to be like Mike." Be like Mike. Thank you. The Lord knows he's been wise counsel to me, for Tom, and so many who have known him. You know, friendship is one of the greatest gifts that a human being can receive. It's a bond that goes beyond our common goals or our common interests or even our common histories. I think friendship might be the key for the church in terms of its impact in its own community. The relationships, the life that we share with those outside these walls. It's deeper than what fate might solidify. It's not just that we spent our school days together, Mike, is what I'm trying to say, though they were great, or even the fact that I happen to pastor and you and Tom as well, or that we go to the same church together. It's not just that. You see, life is always more about what you share with your neighbor, not what we compare, not how we contrast, but how we face one another humbly and authentically. We've done that some way through email. It's crazy. It's crazy. Sometimes on the golf course, other times in the classroom. But friendships are shared by, listen to me, church, by walking with people in times of deep joy and sadness, in times of accomplishment and loss, all through life. That's what makes life, what makes church bright and hopeful. And Mike is a paradigm of that. So I want to say a last word to you, church. And this, I think, comes grounded in Scripture. I know it does. Paul's letters, the Apostle John's apocalypse, Revelation, even the Gospels, they were all written to churches, you know. And there are plenty enough identifiable reasons or difficulties that bubble up in all of these writings. These folks, as they had problems too, challenges. And they're listed, categorized as the world or the flesh or the devil. Church has always existed in that context. But good leadership and healthy churches in the context of a problem-filled world find reason to be grateful, to give thanks to God. It's no wonder Paul began most of his writings with what I believe was more than just a literary form, but a theological stance. Thankful to God for the good that is here. It's no more fitting symbol.